do me a trick.
Off, off.
New hole. Shut your new hole. Shut the boat show new hole. Shut the front door. Shut the front door. Shut your new hole.
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting from Pie Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, intergalactic prairie studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 360 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Really long list of people. Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Dean, and that's James Babb, and that's Lisa. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi,
and I'm Lou, and the Freedom Fiends is covered. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, happy New Year! First show of the year.
It's coming, and we're off to a bang too. Holy cow!
Yeah, man.
World's going nuts.
World's going nuts, but of course, you know, we need to do the top of the hour Michael Dean medical news hashtag MWD colon. So I've been sick for a year now, and my doctor the other day basically said he's done with me. Like, he's still going to see me, but he's like, I don't know what I can do for you. I'm going to send you down to Denver to the Jewish Asthma Hospital, as it's called, which is a world-renowned center. And I'm sure there's people out there thinking conspiratorial thoughts now, but it's the one that's nearby, 4 hours away, that's really, really good. And, he wants to send me for a second opinion. So, you know, when a doctor sends you for a second opinion, usually you ask for them and they're like, I don't know, I'm God, I know everything. But this guy's like, I can't help you, son. He's gonna try one more.
I can't
thing.
Be responsible for what happens next. I'm sorry.
Michael Dean's been sick as heck for a year. See what happens next. Sounds like link bait.
It's like when the lawyer says, look, I really can't defend you anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
you know you're doomed.
He calls for it. The lawyer has the judge call for a change of venue.
Yeah.
To someone else's court. Yeah. All right, so
but hey, at least you're going to Denver, right? I mean, that could be worse places to, you know, you could go to like the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota or something. So
yeah, isn't there one? There's one in Cincinnati too, isn't there? Or somewhere in Cleveland Clinic. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
I don't think that's part of the Mayo Clinic system, though.
Yeah, it's the Cleveland Clinic. My mother used to go to the Cleveland Clinic when she had cancer because that was like Denver distance from where we grew up in upstate New York. So before we get into Y'all Qaeda, which is what the haters are calling white men with guns who haven't shot anybody. Y'all Qaeda. That's kind of funny.
Yak farmers taking over federal land.
Hey, don't pull Nick into this. I thought about having Nick come on here tonight, but I'm like, do we really want to have a 17-year-old farmer in the same state, like in the same business, like, you know, rancher?
No. Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't want to get him
involved. he's probably busy, you know, at the ranch, you know.
At his ranch, yeah.
Straight out of rehab.
Yeah,
Nick's breaking bad at the refuge.
So speaking of Breaking Bad, Lou's never seen Breaking Bad, right, Lou?
No, I've never seen the American version.
It's the greatest show ever made. Like, it's the greatest TV show ever made.
I haven't saved in my queue.
It is exceptionally high quality. I will say it might not be the greatest, but it's definitely in the top group.
Yeah,
no matter how you slice it. Yeah, it is.
It's a
masterpiece.
I'm a fan of I'm such a fan of like good TV writing and acting and set design and music and production and editing and everything that makes up a film or a TV show that I even watch cop shows where like cops are the heroes, which I have to suspend my statism to do, but like that's where a lot of the good drama is in TV. Like a lot of the good writers end up there. But Breaking Bad was like, oh great, like, you know, the cops all die in the end. Spoiler alert! And the drug dealers.
I think everybody
are the
dies in the end. Spoiler alert!
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, James.
No, Jesse gets away.
And then everybody dies.
Yeah, that's not really the way to give a spoiler alert. To say spoiler alert and then don't even take a breath and then spoil it. Like, people don't have a chance to tune out.
Well, I like the way the characters are. You know, it's not like, oh, he's a good guy and he's a bad guy. Like,
they're
there's good people
ambiguous.
Doing bad things and there's bad people that end up kind of doing good things, and I think it's a lot closer to the way the world is actually structured. Only it's just everything is to the extreme.
That started with Serpico. That started with Serpico back in the 70s. That's the first one I can think of where, you know, somebody in law enforcement was on, was like, you know, every cop is a criminal and all the sinner saints kind of thing. Like, before that, it was kind of cut and dry. There may have been exceptions, but it was like, you know, in the, you had all these like moral plays back in the 50s where like the cops were always the good guys and the robbers were always the bad guys. But yeah. Yeah, well, The Wire is the other like greatest show ever. So if they ever make a Colombian The Wire, I'm going to watch it. And they kind of have. There's actually a show. What I'm getting to is there's a Colombian version, Spanish language version made in Colombia of Breaking Bad. It's called Metastasis, like, you know, metastasizing in cancer, because Breaking Bad doesn't translate. So it's called Metastasis, and it's all up on Netflix, and it's like, it looks like it's only one season, but it's the whole series, I think. It's like one season with 76 episodes or something. And
wow.
And maybe that's how they do it there. But it's like, it's literally a scene-by-scene, line-by-line remake of every episode of Breaking Bad. Like, every camera angle, even, almost. You know, occasionally they'll change, like, some... you know, cultural reference or something, like, and some of the music's different, but a lot of the music's the same. It's kind of like, you know, Freedom Fiends, like the classic Freedom Fiends are myself and Nima back in the day before we were on radio cussing our head off. And, you know, now Freedom Fiends, like, it's the same music and the same bumpers and the same attitude about everything, but it doesn't need to be Nima or even me. And it's kind of the same thing, you know? And although the Fiends are generally better overall, even when I'm not on, but this is not as good as Breaking Bad. But the thing is, I fell in love with Breaking Bad so hard. Like, I watched the whole series through like 6 or 7 times, to the point where, like, I don't speak Spanish and I could probably watch this without the subtitles. Like, I know what every character's doing and saying in every scene, and it's that good. But it's kind of got a telenovela feel, like a soap opera, Spanish soap opera feel, because the directors and a lot of the actors are from Colombian telenovelas. So I highly recommend it. It's pretty entertaining.
Does it have that kind of like cheesy vibe that most Latin TV that I've seen has? It's like,
yeah,
I expect like those like Latin weather girls to come on, or, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Latin weather girls are like, you know, Skyler White in this. So it's Walter White is named Walter Blanco in this, and the lawyer, Saul Goodman, is Saul Bueno.
And Saul Bueno Muchacho.
Yeah, which you know, if you don't know, Saul Goodman is a joke. It's all good, man. It's all good, man. But they had to change. One thing that was kind of funny they changed is there's a, and this is not a spoiler alert because you wouldn't even get it until you see it. In Breaking Bad, there's a thing where Walter receives a gift of a book of the poems of Walt Whitman. And it's important that his initials, WW, are the same as Walter White's for some clue. So they couldn't do that with Walter Bueno. It had to be WB. So they used the poems of William Blake. And William Blake is a lot darker than Walt Whitman. So it's pretty funny, but they found a poem that worked.
Nice. Yeah, so they really put some work into it. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and this is something that apparently they used to do a lot more of, but now people worldwide, like, you know, if they don't get it on the torrents, they can at least, like, you know, TV shows that are horribly, you know, terribly successful, extremely successful in one country, they pretty much, like, they release them with subtitles or dubbing, with the original acting, quicker than they used to, because otherwise people just go bootleg them. But this was so successful, and, you know, the Spanish world is so big. The Spanish-speaking world is so big. You know, Spanish is... English is not... It's like the fourth most common language in the world, but it's after, like, Mandarin, Spanish, and Arabic. But it's by far the most common second language. Like, most people can speak a little bit of English. Just because, you know, the UK was such an empire builder for so long. But
yeah, hey, America had something to do with that.
Yeah, and that's, we're going to segue into, so what's going on in Oregon? For anybody who is caught in a cave hanging out with Salinger and Bin Laden, what's been going on in Oregon the past week?
People are going nuts, right? I guess there's some ranchers that have been abused by the Bureau of Land Management, and some folks are upset about it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a
Is that the short story?
That's the short story. And the bizarre thing.
They've taken over, what is it, a picnic area?
It's kind of funny because usually when people occupy something, it's like in a city. But they went out like 50 miles out in the boonies and found this like, it's some government building that's like open to the public. That kind of looks like one of those rest stops. That's kind of nice, you know.
I think it's one of those things you go in and there's like an exhibit that shows like a stuffed raccoon and a porcupine and.
It's like a bird sanctuary.
So they went to one of those like over the weekend when no one was there, and found the keys.
Really been abused.
And went in and they're freezing their butts off out there with their AR-15, saying they've occupied it and they're going to stay there for years and make it a militia headquarters. And you know, God bless them. But the problem is they're waving the flag of their oppressors. They have what's that syndrome? Syndrome. Stockholm syndrome.
Let me weigh in on this.
Of course.
If you're protesting the government and waving the government's flag, that's about as stupid as waving a burning cross when you're protesting the KKK.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It is.
Pull your heads out of your...
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. There, I've gotten offensive early, so...
Yeah. And you're not calling them racist, although some of them are. I looked at some of these guys' tweets. They're some of them are really anti-Muslim and really... I kind of used to be one of these guys, not the racist part of it, but the like pocket constitution waving, I need to polish my rifles. I was like that for like 3 weeks at one point. So I can talk to them, hopefully the way that like, you know, a recovering addict can talk to someone who's trying to get clean, although they probably shoot me for describing them that way. But, there's so much, what's the word? Where, like, one thing you say doesn't make sense with another thing?
I don't usually use the word derp, but...
There's a word for it.
Herpa derpa?
No. It's two
dissonance.
Big words.
Cognitive dissonance?
Yeah, the two big words. Yeah.
Cognitive dissonance?
It's that. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, I mean, the protesting, the people they're trying to defend who got thrown in prison for arson for, like, you know, doing management burns on their lands. Like, that's a bad deal, and that should be dealt with somehow. I don't know how. I don't have the solution, but I don't think it's it. I don't think it's, you know, going to some station in the sticks with rifles.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty deep story, and I read one article that had some of the history. I mean, we're talking history
You really
have to understand, like, rancher culture. And, you know, it's probably doomed to the start because they had to partner with the federal government on this land.
We'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yeah, it's Freedom Fiends barking into your cerebellum from all over the world. Yeah. So, Lisa, get us up to speed for, like, anybody who's not really aware what's going on in Oregon.
Okay, sure. So what's going on in Oregon is there are two ranchers in Harney County, Dwight Hammond and his son Stephen Hammond. And in 2012, they were convicted of arson for doing some land maintenance on their ranch. So apparently it's a common thing to burn down invasive plants and let the land kind of replenish itself. You know, it's something ranchers do. So
let me jump in here.
Sure.
I'll jump in here. That is also a way of clearing the dried dead fall that has come out of trees and stuff like that. So if you have a an area that gets a lot of overgrowth and really nasty, that makes it susceptible for major fires that will burn out of control. You know, California. Okay, mm-hmm. Continue.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to you do these burn. I think some of their burns weren't some of their burns too. Wasn't the burn to control or to protect them from a larger fire or something like that? Or
yeah, one of them was. So yeah. There was one in 2001, and then there was another one in 2006 that they got talked to about by the Bureau of Land Management. So they were kind of warned. To. Right, they got a lecture. They were warned, you know, about setting fire on their own land and not letting the fire spread to federal property. So anyway, they did this, and they
when you
were...
mean when you say federal property, that sounds like a confusing legal term. I don't really understand.
I don't either.
What is just? You mean some? Did you mean to say some land that's available for homesteading because it has no legitimate property owner?
That's exactly what I meant to say.
And there's a lot of that out west. Like, probably 50% of the land in the western states is like that. Like Wyoming, Idaho, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, the Dakotas. Yeah, the feds snapped it all up as they came out here.
Yeah, in this particular county, the feds own 60% of the land.
But it didn't. It hasn't always been that way. The ranchers were there first, if I understand. Is that correct, Lisa?
That's right, yes. That's
I mean, we're going back like over 100 years of ranching out there. And like the federal land just sort of has just enveloped these poor ranchers, driven many out, and just basically have put these guys, from what I can tell, under siege. Would you consider that a fair description?
The feds are an invasive species out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like you thought like tumbleweed was bad? No.
Worse than zebra mussels.
Trees are bad. Yeah, that's what's been happening.
Zebra mussels. I'm Googling that.
They've also cut off their water supply, the BLM, and there's another agency, I don't remember what that one's called, who've made life difficult for them. But this family stuck it out. They ended up with less land than they had originally, and they kept working the land. And then they were, when they were convicted of committing arson, the mandatory minimum sentence was supposed to be 5 years for each of them.
Because this is considered, you know, like you just burned down the downtown federal building, right? This is like supposed to be a punishment for a very serious crime, not accidentally scorching a little unused land that, right?
Exactly.
That didn't cost anybody anything.
They also tried them under like terrorism laws.
Right. Completely misapplied. Completely misapplied these laws.
Every mainstream article of this says, like, some fallacies right off. Like, says that they were charged with arson under as terrorists. Well, that's a fact. They were charged as terrorists. But they're calling, you know, they're basically saying that they're also saying that they started fires to cover poaching, which I don't know if that's true.
What?
Yeah.
Poaching what?
Deer. Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah,
And they're also calling them anti-government people, and they're calling the people that are showing up there anti-government people. Like that's in the CNN press release. Like I don't know if that's entirely accurate because they're waving the government flag. You know, if you ask them, they'd probably say we're not anti-government. They'd say I love my country, but I don't love my federal government. But we need to fix the government. You know, they'd probably say something like that.
They love
in that voice. They'd say it like that. Yeah,
I'd like to just pause here and invoke Harry Brown's 7 never to be forgotten principles of government. Okay, and these I often refer to these because it's easier than making these arguments myself. But okay, here's principle number 3: you don't control government. It's easy to think of the perfect law that will stop the bad guys while leaving the good guys unhindered. But no law will be written the way you have in mind. It won't be administered the way you have in mind, and it won't be adjudicated the way you have in mind. Your ideal law will be written by politicians for political purposes, administered by bureaucrats for political purposes. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, something to think about for Oregon.
Yep. So anyway,
Lisa Brown.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Bring us back, Lisa.
What do I say?
First thing to do it. Say Freedom Fiends.
Okay.
And then say welcome back.
Now.
Freedom Fiends, we are back.
Yeah. This is Sink or Swim Radio. It's a teaching hospital to Freedom Fiends.
I love
I'm
it.
Michael teaching Dean. Hospice.
That was Lisa. What last name are you going by, Lisa? You have a few of them.
Today I'm going by DeLasho.
Okay. DeLasho. Yeah. Yes. That sounds very... Okay, so...
Hard to spell. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about Oregon. People have Oregon syndrome. So there was a video of one of these guys that's out there saying goodbye to his family and waving a pocket constitution. Comments and spelling counts, people.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Scary. I turned it off. I couldn't watch it past like the first minute. I'm like, oh my God.
You're willing to die for this picnic area? You should be home with your kids.
Exactly. Like his kids are like 3 and 5 and he's like trying to leave this video like, and this is why I'm not there for you because I took this oath to defend the Constitution.
I'm going to die for this picnic area. Well, first of all, the Constitution actually... Jeez. Allows everything the government's doing in this case.
In every case. Do you know why? Because the Constitution authorizes certain people to decide what's authorized.
Anything. To do anything. For the public
who
good.
Who cares?
The greater good.
Right.
Yeah.
For anything.
Public welfare.
They just say and the people that decide are also us. So.
Yeah, they just can't take your guns. So, like, you know. You can have free speech and you can have your guns and they'll still throw you in prison for 5 years and take your ranch and you'll thank them for it because
why is this Bureau of Land Management? I mean, you described it, I think, correctly as an invasive species.
Yeah.
That it's just crap. Like, first of all, like land management. OK, like the whole idea that you're going to manage land. Right. Like I think the rancher knows how to manage his ranch. I think this whole concept of a Bureau of Land Management, and I see the same thing with like forest management stuff. Like, come on.
Land manglement. Now,
Central Planning Committee was already used and it has a negative statement to it. And I got one more thing. It would be too offensive if I called that guy a deadbeat dad who walked out on his family when they needed him. Just
no, that's exactly what you should call him. That he should not. Nobody should be like patting on the back, like, "Wow, you're really making a sacrifice for the cause." No, you just abandon your kids for a pocket constitution and a picnic area.
A picnic area. Yeah, yeah. He'd probably be better off serving his family at home.
But so, he could stay home and make dank memes about this and be 100 times more effective.
Yeah, yeah, dank memes, man. So when these guys, here's the thing about picking your target for your last stand, where you're going to do it, or any stand. Now, it's always really easy to criticize these people because they always defend things that are only about themselves. Now, what if these dudes defended other people that weren't them? Like, what if every time, you know, some dude got his door kicked in for having a pound of weed, a bunch of these types with AR-15 showed up and just surrounded the cops.
Yeah. Like Sheriff Mack built a human shield around you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What
if guys who didn't smoke pot just like surrounded drug cops and wouldn't let them bust people smoking pot? I think that would be a better, and I'm not advising anything illegal, but I'm saying like, I think that'd be a better PR thing.
I mean, I might.
Be a better PR thing. Of course you will. Because,
right. And all the stoners should be flocking to Oregon. I think weed's legal there. Okay. Like,
that's
come
why
on,
we
guys.
Made the Guns and Weed movie, man. That's why we made the Guns and Weed movie, was to like unite these people on fighting for the other guy's thing and not just your own thing. Because also, like, defending ranch land that butts up against public land is like we know that morally, you know, it's not the government's land, but it's such a wobbler to most people. Like, you get the environmentalist attitudes in there, and you get the vegans attitude in there, and like, but who can't agree that like a man's home is his castle, you know, and he can like smoke whatever stupid herbs he wants or whatever in his home, you know? Really, like, if these guys were just surrounding drug cops and keeping them from busting law-abiding, you know, people of color even, hey, why not, right. You know?
Well, the problem is, like, these people can't seem to just keep, you know, they can't seem to limit their cause. You get people like Sheriff Mack, who on one side, like, okay, you know, he's out there in Oregon now. He was there with the Bundys. But yet he'll say something stupid, like telling sheriffs to go stop gay marriage. You know, like, he can't just keep it. Yeah. He said, wow. Yeah, it's up to, he says, well, if the legislatures aren't going to do it, I'm going to call on my sheriffs to stop it. What the heck does that mean?
Wow.
Like
sheriffs.
Like, yeah, or, well, maybe he didn't say his sheriffs, but calling on sheriffs. And he has a sort of a movement of constitutional sheriff guys and saying that they should be the ones to stop gay marriage. Like, can you just imagine them like busting into a gay marriage ceremony and like, everybody freeze, you know, like just terrible. And then, and guys like Bundy, who has said horrible, the Clive Bundy guy, he said like horrible things about you know, what, quote unquote, the Negro, and how maybe they were better off under slavery, and stupid stuff like that. Just, you know, I can understand why nobody from Black Lives Matter wants to work with these people.
Yeah.
Now, here's the question. Are the conservatives saying, yeah, we need to defend ourselves against that tyrannical government? Or are they saying, no, you all need to obey the police and do as you're told, because the law is the law? And there's been a lot of inconsistency with this. When the Bundy Ranch event happened a couple of years ago, I can't remember exactly how long ago it was, but when that happened, everybody's like, yeah, kill those federal goons, shoot them up, all sort of stuff. So they were openly advocating killing cops. But when Ferguson happens, or Tamir Rice, which is probably a much better case, or John Crawford, they're like, well, you need to obey the law. You need to follow the police officer's instructions and all this other stuff. But when it's, you know, some ranch or something like that, it's like, well, whatever. You know, do what you got to do to defend yourself against the government.
Yeah. Well, and it's, yeah. How about Montel Williams?
Yeah. What did he say?
We're going to do a whole segment on Montel Williams, right?
Montel Williams is fueled by vinegar and water.
Well, to be clear. Okay, before we say what Montel Williams said, like, basically he wants these people all killed by the government. And a lot of people on Twitter want these people killed by the government. Like, all the people who are upset about, you know, the shootings of black unarmed kids in Ferguson, like, instead of saying the government should shoot less black people, they're basically saying the government should shoot more white people.
Yeah, nobody gets shot.
Yeah. Right. They'd rather just have more white people shot than have nobody less killed black by shot. The government.
Yeah, yeah, so. But Montel Williams is on record, too, a few years ago, saying, I love the Second Amendment. I have an AK-47, but I think that every gun should have a tracking device in it so the police always know where it is.
And can just, I guess, turn it off by remote control needed as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no thanks, you know. And here's a guy, isn't he like a medical marijuana advocate? And did he even have to like tax things too?
No, that was the other guy.
Hey, Montel.
You're racist. You're mixing up black superstars.
Okay, I don't know.
Montel Williams?
I'm just thinking that this guy's been at war with the federal government already, and he's taken their side, that, you know, after being abused by them.
Yeah. No, Wesley Snipes is the black guy that owed a lot of money for tax evasion.
I'm sure there's more than one black guy that's in trouble for tax.
He hasn't paid his taxes. Okay.
Wow. Hey, guys. Yeah. Montel's a medical marijuana user, but medical marijuana is not recognized by the federal government, and it is still prohibited. So maybe the National Guard or the federal agents that are going to go out and kill everybody at the Bundy Ranch like Montel wants, maybe they should stop by his house and enforce the law on their way out.
Yeah, because he has multiple sclerosis.
as press.
All right, so what did he say? What did he say on Twitter?
Hold on, hold on. Just to clarify, just to defend, so you know I'm not racist, I looked it up. Montel Williams' tax bill, $1 million owed in back taxes.
Oh, right.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
so
that's racist. I'm racist. And
that is racist.
So, hey, that's probably the best thing Montel Williams has done is not pay $1 million in taxes, yeah. Okay? So, you know, it's like, come on. Like, which side are you on, Montel?
Montel.
Yeah. All right. So what did he say? I was quoting South Park when I said, Montel. All right. What did he say, Lisa?
He said, Oregon is under attack by terrorists. So tired of Clive and Bundy and his useless children. I've had it up to here with terrorists like these calling themselves patriots. Wow. I urge the governor of Oregon to call the National Guard to retake the National Wildlife Refuge with orders to shoot to kill.
Wow.
To tell your government to immediately disembowel these treasonous terroristic thugs, sign the petition.
MWD colon.
And what's that?
Hashtag MWD colon disembowel.
Yeah. He said disembowel, but I think he meant disembowel.
Well, he's supposed to smoke in a bowl while he's writing.
Right, yeah, he's right. He just meant go in there and take their bowls away.
Take their bowls away.
Take their bowl cuts away. Meant.
They shouldn't be allowed to be high anymore. He did.
Now, this is the
except
same Montel. This is the same Montel Williams that's calling for the government to go out and murder these people. This is the same federal government that he swore that he would take up arms against if Muslims had to register themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Montel, what is it? I mean, do you love the state or
where's your line in the
state?
Sand, Montel? Pot, Muslims, or hamburgers?
Anyway, I think we need to just focus on Montel, maybe for the whole next segment, right?
Montel represents the typical statist in the statist paradigm. Conservatives only care about the so-called conservative issues, and the liberals only care about the so-called liberal issues. Constitutionality is determined by what you like. Anything that you like is enumerated power. Anything that you don't like is unconstitutional because reasons. So, I mean, all these people, they just have their stupid opinions, and they want the government to impose their will upon the folks that they don't like. That's all it is. So, no rule of law, no constitutionality.
Who knew that Montel was so bloodthirsty? Who knew that he had this vicious, this fetish about ripping the guts out of people? And these guys might be knuckleheads, but they're certainly should be the recipients of that kind of violence. What is going on, Montel? Man.
Yeah, do you think he writes his own tweets and Facebook posts, or does he have people who do that for him? Like, I'm wondering if somebody's getting fired right now. Why'd you say this on social media?
I think he writes his own tweets, and if it backfires, he'll fire somebody and say they did it.
Well, at first I thought it must have been a hoax. I was like, that can't be it. And I actually went to the thing. It's like, yeah, that's the real Montel Facebook. And it was up long enough that if something had gone wrong, he could have yanked it. So he's fully responsible.
Yeah. You know, there's a site that archives embarrassing tweets by famous people, and it's called
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Tell me when.
All right, Lisa, now.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. It's sassy and balanced on the tip of my nose.
Nice. Hey, Lisa, do you want a an Amazon link for a $15 atomic clock you can get so you know exactly what time it is on radio?
I would love that.
It's fun. Do you guys have those?
Doesn't your computer have a clock?
Yeah, the computers are usually off by 2 or 3 seconds, and the atomic clocks are fun. So this
I have the
is my last
atomic
segment.
Clock that you have, Michael.
What's that? Yeah, you do. But I threw away the little sensor that goes outside. So
I have. I don't that. Know what. That's all. Yeah, it's 23.9 degrees outside. It's warm tonight
in Bear Saskatchewan. All right,
Montel.
Is there a danger of meltdown though if you use an atomic clock?
No, it's not really atomic. It's receiving information by radio from an atomic clock.
So it's not really an atomic clock.
No, it's it'll an
get,
atomic.
It'll get you put on a terrorist watch list, so.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so, a clock, really.
So there. Show me on the doll where Montel touched your atomic clock.
I love the propaganda that's coming out about this. There was an article in USSA Today. In the first couple paragraphs, the Oregon sheriff, whose county is at the heart of an anti-government call to arms, said Sunday the group occupying a national wildlife refuge came to town under false pretenses. The sheriff David Ward said protesters came to Harney County in southeastern Oregon claiming to be part of a militia group supporting local ranchers. In reality, he said, these men had alternative motives to attempt to overthrow the county and federal government in hopes to spark a movement across the United States.
And have a picnic.
Yeah. Yeah, the protest called to support two Oregon ranchers facing jail time for arson escalated late Saturday into an armed takeover of a federal wildlife building. The protest and takeover are being led by Ammon Bundy, son of Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy, who was involved in a previous standoff with the government over grazing rights. Two of the younger Bundy's brothers are also involved. The brothers are calling on anti-government militia members from all over the country to join the seizure of the headquarters building of the remote Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, some 300 miles southeast of Portland.
Picnic table.
Yeah, we're planning on staying here for years. Absolutely, Ammon Bundy, 40, told the Oregonian. This is not a decision we made at the last minute. I love this. Anti-government group waving government flags around goes in an armed takeover. No shots fired. It wasn't anything like a SWAT raid. They didn't kill any dogs. They didn't shoot any cats.
They haven't showed up yet. The government hasn't showed up yet.
I'm talking about the militia group.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but they learned.
They must have at least dumped some raw milk on the ground or like burned somebody's crop.
I think I should FedEx these guys my Bipcot flag. If they'd hang it up. I mean, I'm sure FedEx delivers to that. It's a place of business, you know.
I think you should, but it's a little late. If you had thought of this months ago, we wouldn't even be in this situation now. The Bureau of Land Management would have shown up and been like, oh.
I know. They could have just sent one person out there to hang it up.
I'm sorry to bother you, sir. And they would just go on their way.
If only. Well, you see, the thing is, like, there are people out there who have that kind of magical thinking. Like, I looked at the Facebook page of this guy that did the goodbye to my wife and kids video, the guy who's willing to die for a picnic area. He has like sovereign citizen-y kind of like all capital letters kind of stuff on his Facebook page.
Yeah, they want to do stuff like a grand jury by We the People. Anytime people start using We the People when it's like capitalized, like there's some creepy culty stuff going on.
They have Oregon syndrome.
But you know, but I, at the same time, I'm still very sympathetic to these guys because I've seen them destroy so many businesses, and I just feel when you read the story about how these ranchers
destroy the businesses, not these guys. To be clear.
Right. Yeah.
No, because these guys support government, therefore they're part guilty. They're complicit.
Yeah, and I'll say again, I have sympathy for them in the same way that, as a recovering heroin addict with 21 years sober, I have sympathy for the still suffering addict who's, you know, close to hitting bottom. And I can help him if he wants help, if he asks for help. But these guys will never ask me for help because they hold their pocket constitution up and say, this protects us, when in reality, it enables what's happening to them.
And either way, it's unfit to exist.
When I see people carrying copies of their Constitution in their pocket as symbols of their freedom, it reminds me of dogs that have learned to carry their own leashes in their mouths.
Yeah, Butler who said Schaefer. That?
Butler
yeah,
Schaefer.
Butler Schaefer. But. You said butt on radio. Open your loo hole. wide and insert your fiend bone. I don't want to say shut your loo hole because you're talking and I like it, but
yeah.
It's our new thing. Shut your loo hole. Yeah.
Yep. It's not even remotely funny, Michael.
Yeah, it is if it's not you. But you called me Uncle Fester, so there, touche.
But you look like Uncle Fester.
And then you said that you're going to, like, keep me in mason jars in your fridge or something. And then the police left a kick in your door. And
are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon. High atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPAR 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Nice. Yay, nice. Lisa.
All right.
Ginger Snaps.
Ginger Snaps.
That's your wrestling name?
Yeah, that's the name that's been bestowed upon me.
I wonder who would come up with that.
I don't know. Some crazy guy. With an evil laugh. Did you hear that?
It wasn't that evil sounding.
It was kind of evil. It's a little
nah.
Yeah.
Didn't sound anything like Hillary Clinton at all.
Okay, I'll give him that.
That would be like a vulture's cackle.
Or like a pterodactyl, like before it like swoops in and like snatches a baby mammoth. I don't know.
Yeah.
A human baby.
Yeah, human baby. Eats the brain and discards the rest. All right, so we're talking. Okay, we put a few nails in Montel Williams's coffin. That dude needs to never be seen or heard from again. Okay, like whatever credibility he may have had for sort of standing up for medical marijuana, if that was ever worth anything, he's lost any kind of clout. So
you know, I just looked at his Facebook page and I looked at that comment and I wanted to see what readers were saying, and everyone is against him now. They're telling him that he should delete his social media accounts and stop talking, and he's lost all credibility. And so that's
did he ever have credibility? I don't really know.
No,
I've
not
never
really
followed the guy or watched his show or anything, so I don't really know anything about him, but
yeah, I don't whatever credibility, you know, he had is apparently
here's a guy that like didn't gone. Pay $1 million in taxes like a hero, and then this, like, what a letdown.
I know, it's so disappointing. Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Ignore him, shun him, Twitter bombard him, make his life like he shouldn't be able to leave the house now without people being like, what? Disembowel? What?
Disembowel. That was
or is it
harsh.
Disembowel? No, he's like, no, I just wanted to disembowel. Seriously.
He should delete himself.
He should. I'm really surprised that that post is still on his page. I really expected it to be deleted.
Wow. Man, yeah, well, it's gone so viral
from the
now.
Internet.
Yeah, it's
there forever now.
But this is, you know, he's not alone in this sentiment. I've seen a lot of people in my own Facebook feed that are like, what, you know, gee, you know, how come they're not getting killed like black people? Go kill them. You know, like,
it's only fair, right?
It's so sad. Like when I see these, you know, basically I just, you know, when oppressed people lash out at each other instead of their oppressor, it just breaks my heart. You know, and I see that so often. It's like if these people would realize, like, we're all on the same team here. It's all of us, you know, against these people that are under the impression they have legitimate right to rule us. We're all fighting that one way or the other, where it's, you know, whether it's police brutality in the cities or, you know, destroying ranches and farms and rural areas. You know, we're all in this together.
Right. I was thinking that earlier because people were comparing these militiamen to Ferguson protesters. And they were saying, well, you know, the National Guard was called in. There were police everywhere trying to control, you know, the protesters. And the situations aren't even close to being the same. Because in Ferguson, we had, you know, there were people looting and rioting and destroying property and burning down shopping centers. These guys are just hanging out in a bird sanctuary. They're not hurting anybody. They're just...
Well, they're using vacant land. Right. Yeah. It's almost like they just said, well, let's find a place where we're not going to bother anybody and set up camp. For whatever your strategy is, you know, I kind of like the idea. I think, if, you know, what if everybody did that? These people would, you know, they'd be out of the government would be out of business, you know, if people suddenly turned on them. But it's going to take really turning, not like let's wave our flag out at you to make you. I don't know.
Like, yeah, that is it's pretty shocking to see. I watched some of the live feed that Lou posted today, and yeah, they're waving the flags. They're
they're very serious about that. But you know, and you could say sort of the same thing about you know, when Black Lives Matter and like what starts is this, you know, at the core, you know, this rage against police brutality against black males is just completely out of control, and there's a proper rage to that, and then quickly it gets, you know, jumped on by, and we want $15 minimum wage, and we're going to need cops to enforce it. And, you know, and we want free this, and it's going to be paid for by those people, and we're going to need a lot more police to get what we want for free. Like, yes, just completely corrupts the legitimate message with this, you know, so I don't know. I don't even know what I'm ranting about, but it's, it just breaks my heart when I see, you know, because I think we're all sort of empathetic. We sort of understand, like, wow, they're just... You know, these guys tried to work within the system until it was too late, and now there's no way out for them.
Yeah, these guys really tried to, and they're going peacefully to jail tomorrow. I mean, they're showing up. They're not trying to fight that. Apparently, the elder Hammond supposedly told Cliven Bundy that he's going because he'd rather do that than get a shot in the head. He knows that if he resists too much, you know, it's... chance that he'll end up in jail longer or end up dead. So he's going and serving the rest of his term. Right. Really sad. And the way that this happened to me is really scary because, you know, he and his son both served a little bit of time and they were out and they paid their fines.
So no, a little bit. Fines. You mean like a whole year. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of them. Like, yeah.
That's not a lot. I mean,
but for terrorism charges, you know, because
right.
Yeah, because doing a controlled burn on your own property, I mean, that's terrorism. My God, because 9/11. Don't you listen to Rudy Giuliani?
Well, you know, let me ask you this. Do you think anybody is coming away with this? You know, one of the key lessons that I think needs to be understood is that the justice system is just completely worthless and beyond reform.
You mean legal system.
Yeah, right. I you couldn't see my air quotes when I said that. So it's just
use
so
a sarcastic
bad.
Tone.
Right. Yeah. When I'm talking, you notice a sarcastic tone sometimes. Anyway, these guys, it really exposes it. And I hope that they're paying attention to this because my experience is when people follow a case like this, it might be the first case they look into and they start being like, what? The federal government does what? The court does what? The judge said what? You know, like the jury didn't get to find out what? Like, and they just start, you know, you get one piece of, you're like, I can't believe, you know, and then, you know, you've realized that's the same story every single time over and over and over again. Everybody's like initial experience really is a commonplace occurrence. So what's happening there has happened thousands of times before, but it's not going to be, you know, tweeted about when, you know, and most people just go quietly into the night and are run out of business and chased off and move off and you know, make do. And it just, it does break my heart. Well, like, Lou, when you were talking about the farm case up in Michigan, you know, and when I heard you on a Fiends episode a couple nights ago, when I heard your comments about that, I was thinking, like, you know what? That's exactly the same comments I wanted to make about this Oregon story.
Yeah, when you asked me to come on tonight, you said, hey, come on, talk about the ranchers. I'm like, which ones? who can keep track of it?
Yeah, crushed lies, and it just seems unstoppable. When I started reading the history about how the Bureau of Land Management encroached upon the ranchers there over the past century, right? It's like you've been getting stepped on, you've been being treaded on for 100 years, and now you're suddenly like, hey, you went too far, like. Just too little, too late, unfortunately.
Well, abused spouses, they eventually get to a point to where they don't want to get their ass kicked anymore, and the same thing happens with battered citizens.
Right.
So, you can keep drawing your line in the sand and then, you know, rubbing it out with your foot and then moving it back a few more feet and moving it back and moving it back, moving it back. Eventually, you're going to be off the beach and you're going to have to do something. So,
well, Lou, what is the principle by which the Bureau of Land Management is growing like a mold or like an invasive species, where it was just a matter of time before, you know, you once these things take root, all they can do is expand their turf, right? Like, so everything like that ends up being like in the way is obviously going to become an enemy or a terrorist eventually in their quest for more territory, right? Is there some principle or some like fundamental law of exponential mold growth that can sort of predict these things?
Yes, there is. It's called because government. And no, seriously.
That explains a lot of exponential mold growth. It does.
Yeah, government is a disease masquerading as its own cure, and it is constantly seeking relevance. Therefore, it will go out and it will attack every issue under the sun that it can find, and as new issues pop up, it will insert itself into there. You know, people always say, you know, well, our politicians, our representatives need to be passing good laws. Well, quite honestly, you know, within like, I don't know, a couple of days of the government being formed, all the laws that needed to be passed could have been passed. You know, don't hurt people, don't kidnap them, don't steal, things like that. After that, you don't need any more laws. But because the magic parchment has a legislative branch in there, it creates a legislative branch, it's going to legislate. So state is going to state, legislator is going to legislate. And
yep,
quite honestly, if they did the right thing and they didn't come out with any new laws for, I don't know, 220 some years, something like that, everybody would say, what are we paying them for? They need to create some laws. So right. Essentially, anybody who demands government is bringing this upon themselves. Now, granted, if everything was running smoothly and people were like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. Government survives through crisis. That is how it expands. Hell, that's how it maintains itself. There has to be some enemy out there. There has to be some problem that needs to be solved in order for government to remain relevant. So, you know, naturally some things will pop up, but if something doesn't pop up on its own, then it has to be created.
Right.
So, and government is just a self-licking ice cream cone.
Hey, it's not going to lick itself.
Dirty comment redacted.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
With Lisa at a secure and undisclosed location somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic coastal region.
Kind of close to the District of Criminals.
Ooh.
Mordor on the Potomac.
I was there. I was there last week. I actually went in, walked down a street, and I saw like one side of me was the IRS, walked past the FBI. I went to some great museums though, and I'd like to thank all the listeners around the world struggling to make ends meet, or at least in the United States, that you subsidized my museum visit. Thank you. they spare no expense. The museum I didn't get to go to was the Postal Museum, and I'm thinking to myself, like, and here's a bag of mail they didn't deliver from 1605, you know, I mean, or 1905, and here's a like here's the counter with the bullet holes where the first guy to go postal was, you know, like what do you find in the Postal Museum?
I didn't even know that existed. So
I didn't either. I'm going. I'm going someday because.
I kind of want to go now. I might do that.
The Postal Museum. I'm here to see the exhibit on Lysander Spooner and the American Letter Mail Company. Which way is that? What? And they're like,
they
security. Security. We got another. We got another guy mentioning Spooner. Security. Security.
Get him out of here.
He's asking if about monopoly privileges. What? Get him out of here. Yeah.
I'm watching a video on the internet of a dog catching salmon that are swimming across a flooded road, and he has the salmon in his mouth, and he's walking like down the roadway with it, and then it fades away. That is so cute.
Nice.
That sounds cute.
Bet you won't find that in a museum in Mordor on the Potomac.
Probably not.
All right, I'll go back to making memes. You guys have fun.
No way, Lou. You can make memes on your own time. So, you know, so we're talking about these occupations of federal buildings, and I found an interesting story that Thaddeus Russell pointed out to me on Facebook, that there was another armed takeover of a federal, federal-related building, but it was a evidently Eric Holder participated in an armed takeover of former Columbia University ROTC office.
What?
So, as a freshman at Columbia University in 1970, future Attorney General Eric Holder participated in a 5-day occupation of an abandoned Naval Reserve Office Training Corps headquarters with a group of black students later described by the university's black students organization as quote-unquote armed. The Department of Justice spokesperson did not respond. Anyway,
not.
Holder was among the leaders of the Student Afro-American Society, otherwise known as SAS. Which demanded that the, now this is cool though, this is really cool, which they demanded that the former ROTC office be renamed the Malcolm X Lounge, okay?
Yeah. From The Onion.
No, this is 1970. Now, to be fair, I think all the kids were taking over ROTC offices and draft offices in 1970. It was a wild time. Now, Thaddeus Russell, his comment on this was beautiful, I thought, because he said conservatives are appalled, liberals are embarrassed, and I have to say this is the best thing he's ever done. Well, duh. I mean,
yeah, I'm kind of stunned and impressed.
Yeah, like he peaked as a freshman in college, and it's been downhill ever since for that
in
guy.
In the 70s.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't until much later that he perfected his gun running business in Mexico, and
we saw that coming.
Yeah. Anyway, so
that's great.
I don't know why this story is now emerging. Like, hey, you guys are all mad about occupying, you know, government buildings. I think it's a pretty neat tradition.
I think it's great timing. Yeah.
Yeah, like, let's bring this back, right? Like, if you see an unattended government picnic area, you can it's available for homesteading. Just occupy it for a picnic.
Right.
I'd do it.
There's a nature refuge down the street here. I might have to, you know, something to think about.
Now, well, in Philly, we've had our trouble with the Fish and Wildlife, okay, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, right?
Fish and Hogs.
Fish and Wildlife are brutal in Philly. They will beat up a banjo player, okay, just to make a point. And they have. I've watched them. I've watched them beat up female banjo players in the park. Fish and Wildlife Service. So, yeah.
There's got to be a story.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Hey, during the break, Michael sent me a link to something I was actually thinking about as we were talking about stuff that was getting occupied around the 1970. It was the occupation of Alcatraz, which was a big deal, which was from November 20th, 1969 to June 11th, 1971. Some American Indians occupied the island of Alcatraz. So that was pretty cool.
I've never heard of this before. Very interesting bit of history here.
There's documentaries about it. I think it ended peacefully. I'm not sure whatever really came to it. I mean, of course, the feds have unlimited resources and all the time of eternity to just lay siege to you. So
right. With great force. Yeah, it says it ended forcibly, but I don't see a lot of detail here about how that happened. There's some buildings destroyed. It looks like there was a fire, too. Oh, the government cut off all electrical power and telephone service. So they left the people without power, fresh water, and people began to leave. So they kind of just, they took away their resources.
Yeah, kind of like, it sounds a little familiar, doesn't it?
Sort of does. But,
yeah, and let's face it, this is an abandoned facility. It's, you know, it's like, there's really no denying that, look, this is clearly available for homesteading. Anybody could show up there and claim this as their own, and I'm sorry they didn't get to keep it.
Yeah, me too.
Somebody should go there now and reclaim it. Why not?
Why not? Go for it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Imagine the picnics you could have there. It's like waterfront property. Like, but they renamed it. They renamed it United Indian Property.
Did
and
they?
Yeah. So they called themselves the Indians of All Tribes.
And they had an annual celebration called Unthanksgiving Day. That's interesting. Huh. The Indigenous People's Sunrise Ceremony. Oh, it looks like they still have that on Alcatraz Island.
Cool.
That is cool.
You know, so maybe the left, you know, before they're, you know, it's so easy to criticize these folks in Oregon and call them a bunch of, you know, knucklehead, you know, redneck yahoos or what do they call them? Y'all Qaeda or.
Yeah, and Vanilla ISIS.
Yeah, it's like,
that made me,
you know,
laugh.
What, maybe
kind of hard.
You know what? Maybe look a little bit deeper, you know, into some of these tactics. Maybe there's something that people could learn from this.
I think so too. I think that a lot of people don't understand why that militia is there, what the reason is for them being there. They just see these guys with guns and they think, you know, they're bad guys because they're.
They came to protect an arsonist. I heard it was arson. Like, I've seen a lot of stuff in my news feed, mm-hmm. people comments and stuff. They're like, can you believe these arsonists haven't been shot? You know, like, like.
Right.
They don't even understand. Like, could you even bother to do a little, just scratch it slightly beneath the surface of this before you want to condemn these people? Please, you know, like.
Please do, right? I mean, I didn't know a whole lot about this story, and it didn't take me long. A quick Google search, and, you know, I found the information about the arson being, you know, a routine thing for these ranchers. It's how they replenish the land.
It's not even arson. To even use the word arson implies a malicious intent and some kind of criminal activity, and doing controlled burns on your property is just normal ranch life, and it has been for centuries. So,
yeah, and the BLM actually does it too. And there have been times that they, since the 90s, they've done cooperative burns with landowners.
Sure.
Where private property and then this federal property.
Yeah. And let me, do you think there's ever been acres of land that got scorched that they didn't intend to be scorched when these things happen?
Actually, there have been. Yeah. And
they've
killed livestock.
They probably killed whole towns and people and you know, like, nobody cares when they do it, but whoa, you know.
Well, it's not terrorism when government does it.
Exactly. There you
go. I'm back.
All right.
Yeah. It looks like they apparently, allegedly, in 2012, the BLM had a mishap with a fire that was supposed to be a controlled burn and burned down 160,000 acres.
Ooh, 160,000. And I think this the what we're talking about in Oregon is like 127.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Burn 160,000 acres. Just doing my job.
killed 65 cows that someone named Gary Miller owned.
So, you know, but let's just, you know, since a lot of people are in this situation, these guys in Oregon, they're not the last ones that are going to come up against this. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's important to maybe point out some of the places where different choices could have been made that might have changed the outcome. Okay. Like, you know, my instinct would be just do not partner with the federal government. Like, this whole idea of, you know, this your business relies upon federal government land, you know, and granted, your business, you know, your ranch predates all of that. But, you know, anytime you're dependent upon this partnership, you're in danger. Your business model has a giant hole in it.
Because
they will turn on you in a second, and they don't care if they destroy your entire family or industry and community overnight. They don't care. They have no limits. So pick better partners. But
I'd rather work with the mafia, I think.
Yeah, exactly. At least they have an internal code of conduct.
Right. I think they have a better code of ethics.
Yeah.
Better dressed.
Right.
Yeah, they don't go after family members.
Yeah, there's that.
Better ethics.
Plus.
Right. And they don't need a system to report microaggressions. So anyway, I feel for these guys.
Okay. I want to throw something out there, and this may be contradictory. I can't verify that it's true. Supposedly there was testimony during their trial that that the arson was intentional, and you know, that they were like, you know, just burn it down, you know, stuff like that. And I can't remember exactly where I saw it, but it was an excerpt.
I read that too, and the only specific witness that I read about was a nephew of the family, and I guess he was really young when he testified, and there were some family problems going on. So later on, when they went to trial again, that testimony was actually thrown out. But the government says, and I looked at the Department of Justice website, their their little press release, you know, for this case. And they claim that they have evidence that they were deer poaching. So they were killing deer, allegedly, on government land.
No,
and that they burned that down to hide the evidence of the deer poaching.
Yeah, right. You know, come on. You know, one of the things I read about this wildlife situation was that they did a study that showed, okay, the ranchers are the ones that had irrigated it, and they brought water to this area. Okay, the ranchers did that, and of course, migrating birds like water too. So it wasn't a big surprise that, wow, look, we're getting a lot of neat wild birds on these ranches. So somebody said, hey, why don't we take it over and make it a bird sanctuary or something? Okay. Then they notice, hey, wait a minute, the birds aren't there. There's more birds over there on that ranch than there are on the area that we just fenced off. So they're like, that's a problem. We better get that land too. So it seems like that's the way they're thinking. They're like, they were mad that these wild birds are spending more time on private land than on their government designated bird wildlife area.
They were triggered.
You know? Oh. Man, so vicious when they are like, I mean, just imagine how petty these bureaucrats are. They're like, well, we want that land too. All right, mine. And they just go out and take it.
That's anyway, how they roll.
You know, speaking of other controlled burns from the government, it makes me think of the Christopher Dorner incident out in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Remember that where they burned out that rogue officer that had that they hunted into death. When the government wants to burn something, they don't hold back.
Yeah.
No, you're talking about the cop who tried to change the system from the inside.
Oh.
Exactly.
If he'd only obeyed the code of silence, he'd still be alive today. If he would just gone along with the program and not made waves, he wouldn't have been fired. He wouldn't have eventually snapped and gone off on his, you know, spree.
Right, and they wouldn't have had to shoot up all those random pickup trucks on the L.A. freeway.
Well, and I can see where two petite Hispanic women could be confused for a guy who looks like LL Cool J.
Right. Well, right, and they were in a some type of vehicular, some kind of vehicle. Like, was it a? I mean, they were
pickup
both
truck.
Yeah, right. There's no way to tell one truck from another, right? Like,
I mean, aside from the color and the different, I don't know, brand name, manufacturer, model.
Yeah, who could be? It's you know, when you're spraying gunfire at people, there's no time to check for a logo. Okay, like they feared for their lives. You know, like you don't check the color of the truck. You just unload.
It's common core mathematics. One petite Hispanic female plus one petite Hispanic female equals one large black man that looks like LL Cool J.
Common core coming home to roost.
Hey, just wait till they start using that math to build bridges and airplanes and stuff like that.
Can't wait. I'm guessing you saw the picture of the car that was built by the meme, yeah.
My roads.
Excellent. That's going to work out well.
Yep. And obviously they're using Common Core thinking with their legislation and their rules and regulations, ordinances, commands, orders, statutes, all that other nonsense.
You're right. It all adds up in their head.
Or not. In a convoluted way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are people still descending on this Oregon ranch? Are they coming from all over the country to join this fight that the ranchers themselves aren't really behind? It's just people that seem sympathetic.
You betcha, they're up to like 15 people now.
Wow. That could balloon to 17 overnight.
Listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Freedom Fiends. We're back with the final segment. Bring some good news, some redemption in the third act. It's not all bad out there, right?
No. The world is a beautiful place.
And even when this crazy insanity goes on, it generates some amazingly dank memes that we can enjoy. So, right? How bad is it, right? Imagine the people that went through these kind of crises and had no memes, right? Like, you know, or trying to print out your memes on a Gutenberg press. Like, it would have been very difficult.
It's for dark times.
Yeah. I've been making memes through the second hour.
Right, yeah.
I don't mean to sound like Dante from Clerks, but I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Well, you know, when I realized that we need to talk about this story, Lou, you were the first person I thought of. I'm like, I need somebody that has the same sort of just complete disregard for authority that I do. and a sarcastic.
Any fiend would have sufficed in that regard.
True. But literally, I was listening to your show the other night, hearing about the farm situation in Michigan. And I just, I don't know, like, yep, it's the same script again.
Anyway, when you asked me to come in and talk about the ranchers that are getting messed with by government, I'm like, which ones?
Yeah. So, yeah. Could you narrow that down?
Right?
Roll through some of those headlines. I'm going to try and make up wisecracks about them.
Okay. I just saw this one, and this is from the mirror.co.uk. Haven't had time to verify it, but I'm assuming it's true. Hillary Clinton says, I will reveal truth about UFOs if I become America's next president. The Democratic candidate has vowed to, quote unquote, get to the bottom of UFOs and what is really going on at the top secret Area 51 if she's elected. Okay.
And the answer will be, there are no UFOs. There's nothing going on. Mind your own business.
Yeah.
Do the Bernie one.
Bzz, bzz, bzz.
Do the Bernie.
Wait a minute. Let's finish up Hillary. Hookers for Hillary. Bunny Ranch employees endorse Hillary Clinton. Not a big deal. I remember when, you know, back in the day, it was the Bunny Ranchers were supporting Ron Paul. Remember, I'm pimping for Paul. Like, remember that campaign in 2008?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were given like a 2-for-1 special at the Bunny Ranch. You know, like for if you mentioned Ron Paul. So, I guess they switched sides.
How did they end up with supporting Hillary?
Well, they have the same clientele, big bankers.
Oh.
Hey-o. All right, do Bernie.
Okay, what was Bernie? Wait a minute. Here we go. Let's see. There's just so much. Okay. People-powered campaign smashes record number of donations, revolutionizes American politics. Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign raised more than $33 million in the final 3 months of last year.
But the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money.
True, but listen, hashtag please donate. All he needs, if he can raise like another $100 billion, he can finally get money out of politics. Okay, so this is, we can do it. And think about it, okay? Like, you're saving for college for your kids? Why? Bernie's going to make college free. So don't worry about the college fund. Retirement, that's going to be free. Wi-Fi is going to be free. So just, hey, go ahead, dig deep for Bernie. Yeah, feel the burn.
Burn the feels.
Burn the feels. Anyway, what other good news do we have out there, Lou?
How should I know? I've been making memes all night.
You've been making memes. Yeah, your memes are so dank. Here's one. Thousands of digital textbooks from Springer are now available for free. Springer, Jerry, which is Springer? A publisher of textbooks. Yeah. All, and every episode of Jerry Springer is now, you can binge watch. and the new Columbia version of Springer is even better to binge watch on Netflix.
Los Gusanos.
Right. But this publisher has made 10 years of, or any textbook 10 years or older is available for free on their website. So that's pretty cool. More great that's news. Cool. Dog with slice of ham on face gets 1.3 million Facebook prayers. So aww. You may have seen that on Facebook, a poor dog with a slice of ham on his face. And he got a caption. This poor dog was badly burned and disfigured trying to save his family from a house fire. It's really just a slice of ham. Good stuff. I love it. What else we got? Hey, there's a whole police department. Got entire Florida police department busted for laundering millions for international drug cartels. Wow.
Once again, finally it's not terrorism when we do it.
Hey, finally they did something productive. You know, don't knock it. One step closer to actual free market activity.